seal out drafts, dust, and moisture with MD brand weather stripping from Menards. A well-sealed home is more comfortable and energy efficient. We have the largest selection of in-stock weather stripping with over 100 products available to take home and start lowering your energy bills today. Save big money on weather stripping right now at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
Hello and welcome to another installment of our occasional podcast called I Wish I Hadn't. I'm Dave Hill.
And I'm John Wyatt. As you can tell from our names, David, Jonathan, we were born in the 1950s, so we've had many years to accumulate embarrassing moments which we now feel happy to share.
The dictionary defines regret as a sorrowful remembrance, a sense of loss. But we're not in the business of sorrow and loss here. We're dealing with those things in life that we might wish had been otherwise, but which we're now prepared to own up to.
Today we take a tour of those experiences abroad that made us wish we'd stayed at home.
Oh yes, yes, abroad. I mean, I don't know about you, John, but I didn't start going abroad until, well, I suppose really when I was late teens easily. I think holidays, foreign holidays came upon us, came upon those of us living where we did a lot later than some places. You know, I talked to my wife and I think they went reasonably early because of, I suppose, they were a little more well off than us and that. But our holidays tended to be in our own country a lot of the time.
I went to Ireland in my teens, but I went to France for the first time when I was about 18. We went on the cruise, of course, didn't we?
I was, you know, I was forgetting that, of course, and that was an early experience of abroad, wasn't it, really?
Although, didn't actually fly until I was 24 years old. That's the first time I went in a plane.
Do you know, I think I would have been somewhere around there because, yes, it was a skiing holiday I went on with the famous Dan Air that we flew with, or Dan Dare, as they used to be called.
That skiing holiday where you wore your strange outfit.
Oh, yes, know? Yes, indeed. That was the very one. The very one, yes. And I say, you know, I suppose France, apart from the cruise, I mean, I was thinking about the cruise the other day and I was thinking how marvellous it was that we English people turned up at these fantastically exciting foreign countries and had to wear our school uniform when we went on it, when we went off the ship, didn't we?
Made you feel like a real tourist, didn't it?
Yeah. At least a representative of the British Empire.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, the first little tale I wanted to regale you with, and I'm sure I've told you before, but it's one I come back to frequently, was we were on, it's probably about, it must be a good 10 years ago now, if more, we went on a cycling holiday, well, a sort of a cycling for softies holiday. So it was a fairly uninterestingly flat part of Provence that we were in, and the group of us went on cycles, and your luggage went in front of you. Very, very nice thing to do. But part of the journey back, the second time we went actually was we went to Burgundy. Lovely, you know, you like Burgundy, I'm sure, and it's a gorgeous place. And one of the stop-offs on the train on the way back, we had to stop for about an hour at Dijon railway station and stop for a cup of coffee while we changed trains, etc. And I managed somehow, and I don't know how, to leave a nice bag of mine, like a shoulder bag, that had, not passports, it didn't have passports, it had a phone, video camera, bank cards, credit cards. On the back of a chair in Dijon station when we got onto the next train. So, I mean, luckily, passports and tickets my wife had, but all of the important spending things, all the record of the holiday on video and film, etc., all left on the back of a chair in the cafe canteen. And so I realized this about half an hour into the train journey. Well, as you know, you can't actually sort of go to the front of the train and say, "Excuse me, could you turn around, please? I've left a bag behind." So I had to borrow a friend's phone, find a phone number for Dijon railway station, and phone and try and speak to the station master, who, when I got through, which I thought was quite an achievement anyway, spoke no English whatsoever, because I thought that this is going to be so.
So
You
you're
know,
it's so good, Dave, isn't it? So you're
you
thinking.
know. I mean, my French is obviously better than my Spanish, as we already know. But I was. It's amazing in a situation like that where you can dredge words out from a French vocabulary that you'd completely forgotten from long ago, or in fact, sort of mix some up and speak certain words in English in a French accent as part of the conversation. And somehow, amazingly, I managed to get through to this chap that A had left it there, and he I think he went and looked, but he couldn't find it. Someone had obviously taken it by then. And I had to get through to him that I needed to report it to him, and I needed like a sort of a note from him to say I'd reported it, so that if I was doing an insurance claim on these things, I had proof that this wasn't just me making it all up. And amazingly, it actually the message did get through, and I was able to. And a couple of weeks later, I did receive a letter in French from whoever this chap was, Monsieur someone, Monsieur le Station Master, sort of thing. Saying that I had reported this as being lost on the station, but and various things, I got back, replaced the mobile phone, managed to replace through insurance the video camera and the ordinary camera. But of course, all the digital photos that we'd taken at the time, they were lost forever, which is a shame, really. But so there, first of all, there you have something I really wish I hadn't done, which was hang my bag on the back of a chair in that station.
Have you ever missed a flight? Because I missed a flight.
No, never
Okay.
missed a flight. No.
I was flying to New York with Emily, and we overestimated the or yes, overestimated the time it would underestimated, sorry, the time it would take us to get from where she lived in Clapham to Heathrow. And of course, the tubes were very, very slow. So we got there about 5 minutes after the statutory 1 hour check-in time.
Right.
Unfortunately, we didn't have to struggle in French, but we then had to find out if we could get a flight the next morning. We had to find somewhere to stay, and of course, it cost quite a lot of money, which I had to pay because, well, it wasn't my fault, but it wasn't really Emily's fault, but I mean, it was, so that was a pretty unfortunate incident. One thing I was going to ask you, have you ever been scared when you've been traveling?
I've been a little bit trepidatious on bumpy flights occasionally, I think,
Okay.
but only when they, these days you think they always say, oh, a little bit of turbulence is perfectly okay, and it is always, and if you're on a window seat by the wing, you look out and it is turbulent. You can actually see the wing sort of shaking up and down a little bit sometimes, which is always a little bit concerning, I think, but I've never felt actually frightened. You get one, a big bump sometimes. You think, oh, that was interesting, but that seems these days to be perfectly normal for aircraft, from what I gather. I mean, I've in my youth obviously hitchhiked a few times, and I've never got into a car and thought I don't feel safe in here. I've got to be honest. I mean, every lift I've ever had, it's always been very pleasant, really. But
I've
no.
been scared in cars, other people's driving, people driving too fast. I mean, that's quite,
Yes.
when you're actually sort of holding on to your seat and thinking, shit, this is actually quite dangerous.
Yes.
In planes, equally, I've never had, except the one thing I fear in planes is ear pain.
All
Because
right.
I've always suffered really badly with that. It's just like somebody sort of poking a couple of red hot needles into your ears particularly as the plane comes in to land. And
Yes.
I've tried various things. I mean, they used to have things to put in your ears, and you know, I mean, bracelets and all sorts of things. Nothing seems to work. I just have to put up with it now. It's just a painful experience.
I think probably putting a bracelet in your ear is not always the best move anyway, John, to be honest.
No, I quite
Yeah, no, I've always been one of the hold your nose and blow
I've
brigade, and which actually works for me. But my wife Lynn
Yeah.
tries that; it doesn't work for her. But
How about seasickness? Have you ever been seasick?
I've never been seasick. I've felt seasick. I mean, I've been on a cross channel ferry where it's been rough. And like early morning, and you start to feel a bit queasy, and then people say, "Oh, you need a good greasy breakfast. That'll calm everything down." And I've walked into the canteen, smelt the breakfast, and walked straight out again. I thought, "No, that's not
I
happening."
no, I or they talk about a brandy or a whiskey to settle your stomach or something like that. I've only ever felt seasick once, but I did have a rather unpleasant experience on a cross-channel ferry when I went to the duty free, and it was quite a bumpy trip, and there was a woman in front of me in the queue, and she was obviously seasick. So what she did, we had a shopping basket. She just took the bottles out of her shopping basket, which was a kind of solid shopping basket. You've got to visualize it.
Yes.
Well, into the shopping basket, put it down by her feet, and just carried on shopping. And that was something I kind of wish I hadn't seen. But it was a very unpleasant experience.
I think the only sort of redeeming factor of that is it wasn't like a wicker basket, really, wasn't it? If it had been a wicker basket, that would have been at the end, wouldn't it, really?
Or if you're on a train or a tube train, as I've been, and something sick, and you know the smell just kind of
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
that's
Yes.
certainly grim. You know, I've had a few experiences like that that I wish I hadn't experienced.
No, I actually quite. Talking of smells when traveling, which is an interesting lead in,
Yeah.
quite a few years ago, we were on holiday in Skiathos in Greece. And Greek buses are always interesting, I find, because there's always like our own coaches and buses, there's always a sort of a sign that says, maximum so many people. And that just is routinely ignored, basically. And we'd gone along the one main road in Skiathos to a beach for the day and thought, yeah, we'll get the last bus home, to make the most of it. Nice beach. So we joined this huge queue of people at the bus stop. It was the end bus stop. It didn't go any further that way, so it was going to go back the other way. And we started at when the bus was there, people started to fill it up, and we were quite some way back. And as we were approaching, I was thinking, well, this bus is obviously full, isn't it? They can't get any more on. And they did. It was almost like when you see the things of the Japanese trains where they sort of shoehorn people inside the doors and things. And it was pretty much like that. I ended up with a quite a statuesque German lady in her well she was in a bikini actually still in a skirt but just a bikini top on, and I ended up facing literally right facing into this woman, basically into this woman's cleavage, because she was quite a tall lady, and so my nose was virtually resting in the cleavage, and I thought, this is very ungallant of me. I better turn my head to the side, which I did, and obviously found her armpit then, because she was hanging onto the strap of on the bus, and that wasn't very pleasant, because she'd obviously had a day at the beach and maybe didn't use deodorant as much as some people should, and I had that awful dilemma of, do I keep my nose basically in this woman's armpit, which is slightly less offensive to her, but unpleasant for me,
I'd often see chaps.
do I return to the very comfortable position of being in her cleavage? And I had about a 20-minute journey like this where I just felt acute embarrassment, because I also realized that I couldn't keep turning my head from side to side, because that would be probably even more offensive. So that's one of the things, I wish I hadn't got on that bus. I wish I'd walked, I think, from there.
Yeah, that does sound quite unpleasant. Yes, I can't quite think. We were talking about languages earlier. I remember I went on holiday to Barcelona with my friend Rich, and we were staying in a twin room in a hotel, a very sort of small hotel. When we got there, it was plain that the hotel was run by a couple of gay guys. So we went up to the room, and the two single beds had been pushed together because they obviously thought to themselves, two men coming on up, they must be gay as well. So we pushed them apart, and every single day, we stayed for about 5 nights, every single day they pushed the beds back together again, thinking that we'd been drifting apart. I wasn't quite sure of my Spanish and how to explain, in Spanish, but that didn't work.
Yeah, well, you know, there's no good asking me, John, how to explain that in Spanish because.
And another thing I was thinking about, Dave, camping. Long since gone for me, but
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. We don't even consider it now. I mean, our granddaughter loves it and would go anytime, and same with her parents. And so they have it. They love camping. And no, that went many, many years. I remember a camping holiday in France where we camped by this wasn't my present wife, obviously, because I don't think we've ever camped together because there's no way. You know, Lynn is a hotel or bedroom person rather than that. But my first wife, yeah, we camped in France by quite a nice sort of a bubbling brook type thing, and I thought it's a nice place to camp, nice little space there. And in the night, I can remember hearing lots of rustling and shifting and stuff like that. And I thought, well, I don't know what that is. Maybe it's someone outside. When I woke up in the morning and looked at the end of the tent where we'd got a couple of baguettes, ready for the morning, half the baguettes had been chewed through by presumably some animal that had come from the riverbank, some sort of water rat or something, or water vole, and had had a lovely sort of evening meal of our baguettes, and then veered off again. Uninvited guest in the tent, basically.
I mean, I can remember camping, getting wet, in tents that let in the water and
Oh,
sleeping on
yeah.
the ground. Well, you did it when you were young, just because you didn't really bother, but it got to be quite
Yeah.
unpleasant, staying at festivals and or you sleeping in the back of Robin's van, of course, at the
Robin's
pub.
van, yes, indeed. Yes, that was a most uncomfortable night, I have to say. Because it wasn't a van that was kitted out for like a camper van, really. It was a van, basically. Yeah,
It was a
van.
yeah. So you could always have slept on Jeanette, couldn't you, really? I mean, that would have been
Oh,
slightly more comfortable, perhaps.
please, don't remind me. Going back to flying, I probably well, yeah. The first, I think it was the second time I went to Australia a few years ago now. Decided to go and see what always used to be called Ayers Rock and is now Uluru, and had to fly from Sydney to Ayers Rock or Uluru, and it was about a 3.5 hour flight, I think. And I had that experience that nobody ever wants of there were three seats on the side. Lynn was by the window, I was in the middle, and then a man mountain came and sat in the seat next to me,
Oh dear.
and literally sort of spread right over my armrest and onto my seat. And I had 3.5 hours of literally being shoved up against the side because this person who, I mean, I know you're not supposed to say these things, but literally was taking up the best part of two seats. And I was in the second seat, unfortunately. So that was a highly unpleasant thing. It's almost there like, I wish I hadn't said I'll have the middle seat, really. But then again, it would have been Lynn who'd have had to suffer it.
Of course, yes, that's right. I mean, the only other thing I can think of is an unpleasant experience was going on a ferry to Ireland when we were in our teen when I was in my teens, and they handed out blankets. It was an overnight crossing, and we discovered the next morning that the blankets all had bed bugs in them. So we'd been bitten quite extensively during the night. That wasn't very nice. So I wish I hadn't had that one. But There's quite a lot to unpack on this subject, isn't there, really?
There is, yeah. I mean, on general travelling around, having, you know, your own car and things, I do remember many years ago, something else I wish I hadn't done, which was, I remember one of the first minis that I had. In fact, it must have been during my first marriage, and we'd been down to Dorset and we're driving back up and got as far as just outside Taunton, when I realised that the one tyre was obviously flat and it was, you know, didn't steer properly. So I got out and it was sort of a dusk type part of the evening. And I thought, well, I know how to change a tyre. So I will, I'll jack the car up, which I did, you know, loosen the nuts a bit, jack the car up, start to take them off. And someone had said, oh, you must put, you know, so you don't lose them. You put your nuts in the hubcap, you know.
You've got to look after your nuts, yeah.
You've got to look after your nuts, put them in the hubcap. So the first three I took off and put in the hubcap. And then I stepped back to do the other one. And in stepping back, my heel sort of flicked the hubcap. Almost like something out straight out of a sitcom. So it flicked it so that the nuts flew out. And unfortunately, I hadn't realised we were actually by a drain as well. And so all three nuts I'd taken off literally went blop, blop, blop down this drain, gone. So I had a flat tyre and a wheel with one nut holding it on out of the four. And I thought, This is appalling. I can't possibly drive. I mean, even if I could change the tyre, I can't possibly drive with one nut. So my poor stepfather, after a phone call, had to drive all the way up to Taunton with some spare nuts, basically, which, you know, being Cliffy, had various things in the garage and was able to come up with three nuts to put on.
We've had previous experience of you and Cliff with nuts, haven't we, really?
yes. Harking back, yes, indeed, yes. So that was a sort of a salutary tale there, because I can remember thinking, even if I get the tyre back up or put the spare wheel on, I can't get the motorway with one nut holding it on. It's a bit like three wheels on my wagon, you know.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah. I think, I mean, there's probably enough here for a subsequent edition, I think. But
yes, I still do have, yes, a couple of things that I was going to bring up, but I'm quite happy. But the only other one I was going to say was harking back to skiing again. The first time I went skiing with friends over here, I'd skied before, but in America, and we were going to go on a skiing holiday, and the ones who'd never been said, can we have a practice first of all? And I said, yeah, well, you know, there's a dry ski slope at Swaddling Cope, which is near Burton-on-Trent.
Mm-hmm.
So we all trooped over to there. And it's, you know, these dry ski slopes, they're like sort of upside down toothbrushes in sort of hexagonal shapes with a little hollow underneath them. So your skis travel on this upside down brush. It's a bit like snow, you know, not quite the same, but it works. And, you know, me being the experienced skier and nonchalant about the whole thing, when they were all struggling, I was sort of, you know, just sort of scooting backwards and forwards and not really concentrating. And, of course, in not concentrating, I then fell. And in falling, my ring finger on my left hand went underneath the brush and pulled the ligaments. Really nasty, really painful. And since then, and we're talking there probably best part of nearly 30 years ago, since then, and you'll be able to see this, but listeners won't be able to see it, my two fingers, as you can see, don't quite meet.
Nope,
I can see. All from a ski slope, me being cocky and thinking I can just show them how well I do on here, falling, and that was it. Yeah,
always. So we've had cocky and nuts in this episode.
Cocky and nuts. We maybe should put explicit on the warnings on this one.
Maybe we should, yeah. Well, if we've covered everything, do you think if the genie makes an entrance, you could think of one thing that you know would like?
Well, I mean, to be honest, because of the, I suppose, the cold sweats I went through on Dijon station, it would have to be leaving my bag. I just wish I hadn't put the bag on the back of the chair, and I'd actually just held it or put it up at the side of me. In which case, all of that horrendous feeling of how on earth do I explain to this non-English speaking person my situation? I'd have been saved that. I think it scarred me for a while, that did. So
I
yes,
bet.
yeah. I wish I hadn't left the bag. Yeah. How about you, John?
For me, it would be the ear pain flying, because it puts a whole dimension on flying that, makes it even less enjoyable. And flying
Yes.
is not particularly enjoyable nowadays anyway, but that is something that I really wish I didn't suffer from. So I wish I hadn't. But thank you, Julie. If it would be nice if that could be removed from past experiences and future.
Well, that I think
Okay.
that's been a very interesting chat, I have to say, John. I enjoyed that. Yeah.
Got a grand day. Yeah. And as I said, there's probably still more horrible experiences to unpack in a future edition, but I think
Yes.
that's enough for today.
It is. Yeah.